Currently 70 degrees in Lynchburg, 72 in Danville, 72 in Roanoke and Salem, and 70 in Bedford.
We normally have our Medical Mondays on Monday. Dr. Kathy taking a couple weeks off.
Yeah.
Much deserved.
Mm-hmm.
She'll rejoin us next week. I wanted to give you an option here, Janet. I've got so many possibilities here. Senator Cruz talking about the $3.5 trillion. You've got Mark Levin talking about if things about, you know, General Milley are true, this is not good for our country. I've got Mike Pompeo talking about does the U.S. stand up for Hong Kong any longer or the Taiwanese? I got several ways we can go here. Taiwan, Senator Cruz,
the 200,000 plus.
Well, I don't have that particular story, but that's one we can talk about.
That we aren't vaccinating and we're letting into the country. I mean,
I just wonders.
Pick one.
Well, and then we've got, you know, this one.
Get vaccinated.
You know. And
unless you're an illegal immigrant, and then you're not gonna get vaccinated.
Right.
Because they can't keep up with it.
Oh, there's 200. Well, like you said, 200,000 a month coming in, and there's no testing because we had the story last week of the border security. It's all they can do just to try to get these people some kind of a name and number attached to them. They don't have any testing capacity. So Lord knows what's coming in. Well, we've seen the resurgence of measles.
And now a federal judge has ordered Biden to stop using pandemic emergency authority to turn away migrants.
And that's just...
Why?
That's absolutely whack.
It is whack. I mean, Texas has never seen this level mm-hmm. of migrants before.
Right.
And I mean, it's like it feels like an invasion.
I want to say Del Rio. I think it's Del Rio that has the Democratic mayor who's just screaming at his Democratic colleagues, saying, "What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm. The judge's name is Emmett Sullivan. He wrote in a ruling issued Thursday that any parent or guardian and child under the age of 18 should not be immediately pushed back into Mexico or returned to their country of origin under Title 42. The public health authority the U.S. has issued to expel migrants during the pandemic.
Hmm.
The decision will take effect in 14 days. And will force federal law enforcement at the borders to take thousands of more people into custody daily because they can't send them back to Mexico.
Right.
This is a victory for the American Civil Liberties Union, which sued the Trump administration following the implementation of the policy in March.
Right.
So here's something where they were trying to get Trump, and all they've done is create a bigger mess for Biden.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, I heard the stories over the weekend that we've sent several back to Haiti via airplane because, you know, we're not going to put them on a boat. Somehow they got to Mexico and came over the border, and they're flying them back. So.
When President Biden took office in January, approximately 78,000 were encountered at the border. In each of July and August, more than 200,000 have been encountered.
Yeah.
And unable to hold so many in custody, Border Patrol is releasing most families directly into the U.S. U.S. migrants are not required to get coronavirus vaccinations, and they are not tested.
Are we the only country on the globe that is this irresponsible?
Self-destructive?
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like.
It really does.
It feels like it's self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we've got this going on, even as Biden is, you know, says he's cracking down on vaccinations.
Yeah, you're a federal worker.
For federal workers.
Yeah. Yeah. And big corporations, anybody over, you know, 100 and above.
Mm-hmm.
But yet 100,000, 200,000 come into our country.
And Biden's vacationing at his Delaware beach house.
So. Yeah, have you seen the pictures of him riding the bike? I haven't seen those yet, but apparently it was quite funny. I don't know if it looks like an old Pee Wee Herman or something.
I haven't seen it. I try to avoid as much on the weekends as I can.
Let me see.
But yeah, I know he did. Well, he had a rough week.
Yeah.
So.
Him and Jill and 50,000 Secret Service.
People.
Yeah.
That's right.
He looks fit. He's wearing his helmet and his big dark sunglasses.
Very good.
Anyway. Okay.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to kind of decompress or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just after the week that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I were talking about it. Even the ones that they've tried to send back into Mexico, Mexico's going, nope.
Nope. Yeah.
And we don't know what Trump had, what agreement he had with
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it was working. And all Biden had to do was don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up and take the credit, like
you
said.
Just take the credit. Don't screw it up and take the credit.
Yeah.
Instead, he had to come in and undo, and now we've got a big old mess.
I think that this, as he destroys the country, so goes America, so goes the world in some ways, because we are, or we have been, one of the reasonable sustaining forces for good in the world, and that's even coming being called into question.
And what about China? What about the threat of China? Will we see China move into Taiwan? This has been talked about for some time, and now we're looking at military jets there.
So, Maria, I have said for a long time that I think China is the single greatest geopolitical threat facing the United States for the next century. And one of, we talked a minute ago about the consequences of Afghanistan, of the disaster, of the failure, of Biden's weakness. Every enemy across the globe saw that weakness, and they took the measure of the man. Xi in China is watching how America behaves, and they're taking the measure of the man in the Oval Office. And unfortunately, I believe the chances of a Chinese amphibious assault on Taiwan have increased tenfold in the last month, because as she has looked at Biden, I fear that she has made the determination that Biden is too weak and too unable to do anything, that this is now a ripe opportunity for China to move militarily on Taiwan. If that happens, it would be utterly disastrous. But weakness invites aggression. The way you protect Taiwan, and I think we should absolutely protect Taiwan, is you protect it through strength. You didn't see China moving on Taiwan when President Trump was in the White House because they knew they had a president who would stand up to them. When you have a president who rolls over for everything, it only invites the bad guys to do worse and worse things.
There you go.
I had a listener who pointed out, that judge, the same judge that oversaw the Michael Flynn case,
mm-hmm.
and it is.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Now, well, that makes sense.
Now it's all.
Yeah.
He's semi-retired, but not so retired that he's not going to take another hit at America. So.
Wow. Yeah.
He sees it as a hit on Trump, though,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is hard to believe that someone that idiotic could be a judge, but.
Well.
But it's true.
Yeah.
How about a good news story?
Let's do it.
A New Jersey officer safely caught a one-month-old baby that was dropped off a second-floor balcony over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
He caught that baby.
Wow.
Hudson County Prosecutor's Office said Officer Eduardo Matu was among those called to the Jersey City residents Saturday morning after reports that a man was threatening a baby, very sweet baby, too. NorthJersey.com reports that he and several officers were positioned below the second floor balcony as the child was dangling over the balcony railing.
Oh, wow.
Officers said the man dropped the infant after a lengthy standoff, and the officer caught the child.
Wow.
Said the baby was taken to the hospital as a precaution. Mayor Steve Philippe later posted a photo of the officer holding the child wrapped in a blanket. Thankfully, the baby was not harmed physically in any way. And the man who dropped the baby was immediately arrested, and charges are pending.
Good.
That's pretty amazing.
That's a good story.
Could you imagine Can you imagine trying to catch something that's pretty small?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to judge it just right.
Mm-hmm.
Probably plays
it's
on
like
the...
It's like catching a little football.
I know. I was going to say probably on the softball team. Hey, get Riggins over here. He can catch that baby.
Imagine what kind of dirtbag would even
do that. Oh, well, that's it. The evil that's inside of a person that would do such a thing.
I suspect that he was tormenting the mother would be my guess.
Probably.
That's what was going on.
Yeah.
But little baby was just fine.
Yeah.
Because he had good hands on him.
That's right. Alan wanted to talk about Biden and his vacation. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. What a beautiful sunrise over the Lexington Mountains up here on 681.
Nice.
But, 64 too, I guess. But anyway, God is good. Just wanted to say Biden has been on vacation more than in the last 8. Nope.
He's breaking
out. So,
yeah,
you know, I just and how did he get a vacation home? And I'm sure that's about $2 or $3 million.
Well, isn't that the one he used to fly to every weekend?
I think,
but he's a public servant, so how did he get?
Well, I mean, his wife works. Jill must make a lot of money still teaching. She's back into the teaching thing. They've managed.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's one of the rich. I mean, I just like to know how he got his money, you know. It just appears out of nowhere, you know. It's pretty odd. I'd like to get that deal myself and have a beach house at Rehoboth and everything.
Well, and you are breaking up a little bit there, Alan. We could probably get you a small place up on the state park in Smith Mountain for a small fee. But no, I get what you're saying. I mean, Biden is. There's all kinds of things that swirl around the Biden family and, you know, the whole the boss that Joe is apparently the boss of this so-called crime family, some people say. But, you know, I mean, until journalists begin to do their job, if there's something real out there, we're never going to know, are we, Janet?
No, I would say not.
Yeah. But... You know, like you said, the guy probably does need a little bit of a break, and so he can get his nap time.
Everybody needs a break sometimes, in all fairness.
Yeah. That's the toughest job.
Nobody can go and go and go and go all the time.
Sure.
We're just trying to get
them to go a little bit, though.
Right. Look, I wish they'd all go on vacation.
Right. And not come back.
Honestly, that's the way I feel.
Oh,
hey,
Lordy.
When we come back, we'll have a message from Chris Rock. He was sending out some messages this weekend, and we had some interesting things going on at the Emmys.
Yeah. It was a lot of masks, as I saw.
No?
I joke.
It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam. Morning Jam with Janet and Mark, 6 to 9 a.m.
Comedian Chris Rock has tested positive for the coronavirus. In a tweet Sunday, Rock said, quote, "Hey guys, I just found out I have COVID. Trust me, you don't want this. Get vaccinated." The comedian has previously expressed his support for vaccines and said he is vaccinated himself. On an episode of The Tonight Show, he revealed he got the one dose Johnson & Johnson shot. It's unclear what symptoms the 56-year-old is experiencing. We wish him and everybody battling COVID right now well.
56. I didn't realize he was 56.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
so we got the Johnson & Johnson.
And he's got COVID, apparently not feeling too good.
Yeah.
But at least he's, you know, chances are he's not going to end up on a ventilator and have those long-term effects. So that's a good thing.
I heard from somebody from Centra that said, you know, the numbers, it was like 96 last week. 13 of those 96 were vaccinated that got the COVID. And only one out of that 13 was on a ventilator, which really bodes well for those that are vaccinated.
Yeah, it does.
It's a small sampling, but...
And you also don't know that the age or what underlying causes they had either.
Yeah, exactly.
So, 73rd Primetime Emmy Awards were held last night. And
Didn't watch.
The people who attended did have to show proof of vaccination.
Oh, they did?
They did.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they did have to show that they were vaccinated before they could attend.
Okay.
So that made sense.
Yeah.
There were some big winners last night. The Crown, which is traditionally won quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor of Easttown was big winner. Kate Winslet won there. Queen's Gambit was it took home some trophies as well. Hack, which I love.
Hack
is the Gene Smart.
Oh yeah,
and it's so good. I've talked about it here on the show
before.
Yeah,
is that Netflix?
Where she was a comedian, and then she went on to do a show in Las Vegas, and then this young girl comes and writes for her. Just very, very funny show, and I love Jean Smart, and so she took home. They also took home writing awards as well.
Oh, okay.
In comedy.
Was there a special segment to extract the Emmy from former governor of New York?
I didn't see that. I did see where Stephen Colbert's election night, Democracy's Last Stand, Building Back America, Great Again, Better 2020, which that seems like a really long title.
It does. Did it win something?
It was the winner of Outstanding Variety Special.
Okay.
I'm not really sure how that's a variety special.
Right.
But, you know, when you're up against the Pepsi Super Bowl live halftime show starring The Weeknd.
Oh, well, yeah.
Your chances of winning are going to be pretty good, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But there were some fun moments with Conan.
Oh.
He wasn't, you know, he used to host somewhat.
Okay.
So he had a moment where he was loud and boisterous and like cracked up the whole room.
Well, that's good that they were able to laugh, because you know they've even done some award shows without a host.
Oh yes,
because of previous controversies.
They didn't want to offend anybody.
Yeah. So yeah, a virtual host.
Sort of. I don't know. Like I say, I didn't watch a lot of it, but yeah. I was curious to see, you know, who would win, and I'm glad Jean Smart won.
Yeah. What platform is that show on?
It's on, I think it's on Hulu.
Okay.
I think.
Isn't that funny? You should say, what station is it on? Now it's, what platform is it on?
I know. It's so hard to keep up.
I know.
And then it's like that dang servant. Oh, it's on HBO Max.
Okay, got it.
Sorry, it's hard to keep up.
No, it is.
It was on Apple TV. My niece was telling me about it.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, it's really creepy, but it's really good. So I start watching it. The first episode was free. So they get you hooked in.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's like, dang it. Well played, Apple. Well played. I should have known better than to think you would give anything away.
Right. Mm. Well, yeah, they certainly don't with their computers. You know, their surplus is like...
Well, now you don't even get headphones.
Right. I mean, their surplus is bigger than most budgets of countries. Just the money they have sitting around in cash.
But when you bought a new phone, you used to get headphones.
Oh yeah, they
earbuds,
don't do that anymore.
And bricks.
Nothing, huh?
No. Nope.
Wow. So you got to buy every accessory.
You better keep those headphones.
It's a wonder they put a battery in it.
And the only headphones that would work is the one that's like the charging.
Oh yeah, it's got that special flat-looking plug.
Or the. You know, earbuds, which are really expensive.
Yeah, I don't like the earbuds.
And no brick.
No way to charge it. You've got to spend the extra
$24.99.
No wonder they make so much money.
Or have one that you could just, you know, plug in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you tried the things where you lay the phone on something and it supposedly charges?
No, but you bought one.
I bought one. I haven't used it yet. It's a little alarm clock. I got it all days. It's made by Braun. They make some good stuff. I haven't tried it. It's just sitting in the box. I need to get it out. Maybe I'll do that this week. and then I can give you a full report.
Yeah, I'd be
because
curious.
I've gone through some cords. I just bought a new cord for my block, and I don't like to buy the cheesy ones. The cheesy ones are $9. I think I spent $13 on this one because it's got that wiry kind of mesh outer coating on it.
Yeah.
And I figured that one might last longer because they go bad at the right there beyond the plug. And, you know, then you start looking and you go, is that a fire hazard? I can see bare wires. And then eventually it just quits working.
I don't like to throw any of them away.
Yeah.
Although I know some of them don't work.
Yeah.
So I need to.
Yeah.
But it's difficult for me to, I need to clean out that drawer. But let's not talk about that.
You have
that.
A whole drawer dedicated to that?
I'm
impressed.
It's not just cords. It's kind of like the junk drawer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got one of those.
Everybody has a junk drawer.
My wife has, she's off
limits.
If
you're lucky, you only have one junk drawer.
I've got one.
I have a new dining table in my kitchen.
Right.
Where everyone gets a junk drawer. There's like four.
Nice.
This is my drawer with my junk.
Okay.
And then Mark has his drawer with his junk. And then we have two extra drawers on the...
I think you should dedicate one to the dogs.
It seemed really handy at the time. Actually, it is dedicated to the dogs.
It is? Okay.
It has their toothbrush and their toothpaste.
Oh, nice.
And their, their little medicine that they have to have every month.
Right.
So it kind of is their junk drawer.
Good for them. Good for them.
Their junk drawer is much neater than mine.
Yeah.
What does that say?
Well, my Romeo's still working on his... Oh, I forgot to give him his med this morning. Dang.
My baby had his medicine.
Well, this is apparently the pain med that they gave him. So it's probably some antibiotics in it. I have to do that now as soon as I get home. It's, you know, trying to squirt that thing into his mouth is like trying to hit a moving target that's moving really fast. Anyway, my wife didn't hear that. She's not listening anyway. She's on vacation. It's the Morning Jam, 7:31. CBS News Brief is coming up next.
Temperatures not moving much. 70 degrees in Bedford, 68 in Madison Heights, 70 in Lynchburg, 72 in Danville, in Roanoke, and in Salem.
As we know, because we talked about it a lot, that early voting began last Friday for, you know, a lot of our elections coming up here. We've got the state and some local stuff going on coming up for this November in the Richmond area. I've already got a hiccup. Some Richmond council members and residents are concerned after one of the Southside early voting locations won't be open for a whole month now. The Hickory Hill Community Center on Belt Boulevard is only one of two options for early voting on that particular area in Richmond, but it says it'll be closed until October the 17th. That will give people who need to do early voting only 2 weeks to do so, because early voting will end October 30th. Hopefully that won't be a hiccup that we run into in other parts of our state, because I think that for early voting, you know, I've got we've discussed this, Janet, we both kind of mixed feelings about it. There's some good things about it, as long as the chain of custody with those ballots are watched by both sides,
right?
So we know we're getting honest elections.
Crews with the Roanoke County Fire and Rescue Department extinguished a brush fire Saturday afternoon that they believe was caused by a person. According to the department, crews from Fort Lewis, Mason's Cove, Cave Spring, and Back Creek were all dispatched to the fire in the area of Bonhon Hollow Road and Hillcrest Road in the western part of the county at about 12:20 p.m. on Saturday. Fire officials say the preliminary investigation does indicate it was human-caused, but they have not determined if it was accidental or intentional as of this point. There are no reports of injuries or any structures being threatened.
So we had a high-speed collision occurred on Highway 29 between Gretna and Chatham last evening. There were confirmed injuries. Authorities could not confirm the number of individuals injured nor the nature of their injuries at the time of the crash. In the midst of investigating the scene, it says that State Police Trooper Cooper Gregory said this was a two-vehicle accident. One vehicle pulled out in front of the other and was struck, and that is still under investigation.
Well, a sweet story coming out of the Lynchburg area. If you happen to be around Memorial Avenue, around the John Lynch Bridge mm-hmm. and in the Madison Heights area, you may have seen a line of more than 40 tow trucks traveling Lynchburg's Memorial Avenue over the John Lynch Bridge mm-hmm. and into Madison Heights to honor a well-loved and well-respected tow truck driver. 2 weeks ago, 68-year-old Gary Bubbles Vaughn passed away from COVID-19. Mm. With the help of his tow family, his loved ones held a unique procession, parading dozens of tow trucks and wreck trucks to his funeral. Mm. He was a member of the towing community for over 40 years, and he was the owner of Bubbles' 23-and-a-half-hour wrecker service.
Wow.
I've seen Bubbles around, around town.
Too. So, I love the 23 and a half. That half hour is dedicated just to himself.
Well, you have to have a little time for yourself.
Sure.
So one of the drivers said he's been towing in Lynchburg as long as I've been alive. I think Bubbles will be known as a friend to everyone.
Oh, that's cool.
So.
Well, good.
Yeah, it was very sweet. It was a very sweet and appropriate it was just a very appropriate thing. Mm-hmm. I love how they did. A lot of the funerals now don't feel. I know I was so upset with my dad's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
It was freezing cold. We couldn't have hardly anyone there.
Mm-hmm.
It all had to be done outside.
Right.
You know, and it was just. But this was a very fitting way. They even put his casket on the back of his Bubbles flatbed.
Oh, neat.
And that's how they took it to the... Yeah, it's pretty... I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It seems very appropriate for Bubbles.
Very creative, and I'm sure it was approved.
Yeah.
If Bubbles were around saying, I want to be driven to the...
That's how I want to go out.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's great that whole industry came together to honor him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really sweet thing. You know, it's funny because people think if you're in radio that you're in competition with other people or that you don't like other people in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I have great friends throughout the radio industry and love all of them.
Yeah.
You know, so seems like that's the way it is there, too.
I had some fun with a radio guy on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The Journey folks were there inside where we had our pre-game meal. They had their booth set up, and I hadn't seen the morning show host who's on the same time we are over there, Kenny. And I was wearing sunglasses and my hat, and he hadn't seen me in a while. We hadn't seen each other in probably about 4 years. So I went up and started using some crazy voice on him and was shaking his hand. And so he went to, you know, like we shook our hand, you know, what's that uncomfortable moment where you should disengage the handshake?
Yeah.
And I kept shaking it, talking in this crazy voice. And then I said something to him like, why are you trying to take your hand away from me, boy? Like that, you know?
Oh, jeez.
And his wife's standing next to him, who I've never met. And mm-hmm. I know what she looks like because of Facebook and all this kind of stuff. And his co-host was standing next to him. She's never met me.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured it out about 10 seconds in that it was me, so he starts putting a big smile on his face, but I'm kind of gauging the other two people on either side of him,
and they're like security,
yeah, who's this guy? So anyway, had a little bit of fun with it.
So you can learn a lot from a handshake.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
You can learn when to release, and it doesn't become uncomfortable.
Well, you need to know when to release. You also need to know the appropriate pressure.
Well, I was squeezing pretty hard.
You don't want to be the dead fish.
Right, right, yeah.
But you don't want to, you know, be too firm.
So tell me, did you ever have, speaking of disengaging, like you've got that back and forth thing going on a text, and it's like they say something, and like you give the thumbs up, so that's like the end of the conversation. And then they respond.
Usually, if you've gone to an emblem or liking someone's comment,
you're kind of done.
Yeah.
But what if it is persistent and that person needs to feel or has the need to keep it going and you don't know when is the real exit of the conversation? I mean, now if you're both Apple users, they see that I'm still reading it. You know, because
can turn that off.
The little bubbles pop up.
You can turn that off.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
There's an app for
that. Because there's people, you know, that you want to look at their text, yet you don't want them to know that you've looked at it yet. But if they got, you know, they have an Apple, they see the three little bubbles and, well, he's obviously reading it. Why hasn't he responded? You can turn that feature off.
You can turn the, where it shows something's been read.
Wow.
You can turn that off.
I feel like that.
I'll show you later.
FedEx commercial where he says, we don't have French benefits.
French benefits.
Oh, that's like my favorite FedEx commercial. No, it's
oh, goodness.
Not called French benefits. And Steely Dan isn't a person. I mean, he just, the coworker slays every one of these things that he gets wrong in this one commercial. It's great.
Well, as you're struggling with your read-only thing on your phone,
right.
U.S. lawmakers say that they're concerned about the negative impact Instagram is having on teens' mental health.
Well, okay.
U.S. Continue. Lawmakers are concerned and say that the leaders of Facebook knew that Instagram was adversely affecting the mental health of young users, especially our young girls.
Right.
According to the Wall Street Journal, researchers found 32% of teen girls who felt bad about their bodies said Instagram made them feel worse. This data was posted to Facebook internal messaging boards.
Hmm.
I think they should be focused 100% on making their service safe for the tens of millions of young users who are already on them. So, therefore, only ugly people can now be on Instagram,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is that the rule?
I guess so.
No more attractive people.
Hmm.
No more... No more Photoshop within an inch of your life photos.
Right.
No more. I'm gonna shrink my waist in, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna take, because that's what they do.
Sure. Yeah, they got the software that does that. I just decided a long time ago that, I mean, I'm human like anybody. Don't like to be constantly ridiculed, but.
Well,
give people the power.
One thing that we did learn. That it says psychologists are saying is that these platforms are designed
mm-hmm.
to be addictive.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Every time something refreshes or you get another like, you get a hit of dopamine.
Yep,
which causes you to come back.
That's exactly right.
They say it will take additional steps to look into Facebook's knowledge of negative effects, saying in a statement that Facebook covered up clear evidence of significant harm. Really? Facebook, who is like policing the world?
Right.
How can that be?
Yeah, exactly.
Blackburn said they are also in touch with a Facebook whistleblower and will use every resource available to investigate the tech giant.
Mm-hmm.
Rut-row.
Yeah.
There could be trouble in paradise.
Well.
The important thing is for you as a parent to limit what your kids are exposed to,
right.
and how early mm-hmm. they're exposed to it, and to make sure that they know real people don't look like that.
Right. And we learned a long time ago, like the people of Apple and big, you know, like Bill Gates, they forbid their kids to do certain things that they are part of. Like, don't go on social media or don't have this, don't have mm-hmm. that. Because they
don't even let them have TVs.
Yeah. They know the addictive parts of that, and they want their kids to grow up and be productive citizens instead of being locked into how many likes I have today. You know, I mean, I got sucked into that. I understand the whole dopamine rush and all that.
Yeah.
You know,
it can happen.
By the way, go like our Facebook page.
We'll be back with more stories for your Monday.
I'm basing how I feel about things.
I'm Janet Rose.
And I'm Mark Lamb.
You put it on your toast and on the radio at daybreak. The Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m. Janet and Mark, 434-534-8500 or toll free 866-916-3776. Call the Morning Jam. The Morning Jam.
7:50 on a Monday. Hope you're doing well. We're trying to make our way through this 6 to 9 time slot and giving you some, well, we've had some hard stories, but we've had a few that are really uplifting. This next one, I'm not so sure that you're getting ready to share.
Well, it was funny because we were talking about handshakes and how, of course, a lot of handshakes, people may be out of practice because we're not really doing a lot of handshaking right now.
Sure.
But you were talking about, you know, firm handshakes and when do you let go and that kind of thing. Leia said, I refuse to shake hands anymore because someone shook my hand and screwed my thumb up for good. Mm. I can't have use of my thumb anymore, so I only have one thumb left, and I will not give that one up for anybody, so I don't shake hands. And I said, seriously? We were texting. Mm-hmm. She goes, yes, but he's dead now. I'm like, gosh, Leia, you killed him. So apparently it was her dad.
Right.
And she said he died of old age. He was very strong, though, and he grabbed my hand and twisted it and messed my thumb up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was like, well, gosh, I thought, gosh, Leia, that's harsh. So,
have you ever shook somebody's hand that is just like, oh, my gosh, that's like, you've got like a bear hand. It's so big.
My daddy's hand.
Your dad,
was like
that.
Like it would envelop your whole hand.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And some folks have hands like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Shaq when he's on commercials.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like everything's miniature.
They can't
like,
let him touch the product.
Like, if
he's
holding a bottle of water, it's like, you know, he's holding a, I don't know, chapstick or something. I'm like, what on earth is going on?
Yeah, that's true.
When you start looking at the size of his hands.
Yeah, they're huge.
With stuff, it's like, that's so weird. No, and then when they put him next to Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I know.
It's like,
no wonder he could palm the ball. It looked like he was holding a softball or something. You know, it's like, oh. Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, hopefully we'll be, I think it was Fauci that said, we may never shake hands again. That was about a year ago. I mean, I shook hands just this weekend with a couple of people. Then I
wonder what his thoughts are on punching people in the throat.
Fauci's?
That's how I would like to greet
him. As long
him.
As they're wearing a mask, I don't think it matters.
Oh, okay. Well, good to know. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Fauci?
He is interviewed every week, and I just don't even watch his interviews anymore. It's just, the guy has, depends on what flavor of the week it is, depending on what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's anyway, true. There are some people that I do like listening to. Mark Levin is one of those guys.
All right.
And let's take a little sampling here on how the Dems are, they're not upholding their end of the deal when it comes to our country.
Look at the border. We have millions of people coming in here illegally. If Joe Biden serves 4 years, 10 million people in this country illegally on his watch alone from all corners of the earth. And most of them are not vaccinated. Now the CDC puts out a warning about a possible measles epidemic. Joe Biden has done this intentionally. What else? Outlawing drones, the FAA preventing Fox from using drones to show a picture of what's going on the border. Censorship by the Biden administration. Election laws. They want to nationalize the election laws, turn the whole country into California, one-party state, where opposition parties, the Republican Party, never has a chance. In New York alone, it was reported that they want to gerrymander to eliminate half of the Republican seats. That's three of them. Three of them. So even though they lose population, they want to eliminate three Republican states because by hook or crook, they want to make it so they fix the system so they can't lose. Censorship, big tech, academic freedom under attack, unless, of course, you're a leftist. A free press? Do we really have a free press in this country? New York Times, Washington Post, major networks, MSNBC, CNN. These are propaganda organizations, an appendage of the Democrat Party in the big state. They're not a free press. Class warfare, redistribution of wealth based on race, based on anything the Democrats can use to exploit and turn against the American people. Balkanization, in so many ways, I don't know how to count. The rich versus the poor. This is how they hope to push through their massive spending bill that will bankrupt your children and generations yet born. Look at the critical race theory. The indoctrination of your children to be racists. Whether you're black, white, brown, red, yellow, you're supposed to hate a group, or you're supposed to feel superior to a group, or you're supposed to feel inferior to a group. Do we not have a national holiday honoring Martin Luther King? Well, this is destructive of what Martin Luther King taught.
He's exactly right.
He usually is.
And Levin, you know, he comes off as angry because he is.
I think everybody's angry.
Yeah. I mean, it's... And then you've got, like you said, freedom of the press. I'm going to play just a little bit of this, and it'll get your blood boiling, so get ready. It's Jake Tapper yesterday.
Also this last week, we learned from an excerpt of the new Bob Woodward, Robert Costa book, Peril, that then-Vice President Pence was under so much pressure from then-President Trump to overturn the election and declare Trump the winner in the January 6th Electoral College count. With powers he does not have, Pence sought the advice of his fellow Hoosier, former Vice President Dan Quayle. "You don't know the position I'm in," Pence complained. "Mike," said Quayle, "you have no flexibility on this. None, zero. Forget it. Put it away." Now, in the end, Pence did the right thing. But what if he had not? Ask yourself, what might have happened to the United States and the American experiment, our democracy, had someone else been in that role? Had Kevin McCarthy been the House Speaker? What if the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or Secretary of Defense had been Mike Flynn, who had started calling for Trump to invoke partial martial law to force new elections in states that Biden won? The threat of violence, it's no longer an abstraction. Trump on Thursday called the insurrection a, quote, protest concerning the rigged presidential election. That's language that seems to, at least in Trump's mind, justify the violence. None of this is a secret. It's all playing out right in front of us. There are two sides here. Those in favor of a healthy, democratic body politic, and those rooting for the man Congressman Gonzalez called a cancer on the country. The cancer remains in the body. The news continues next.
We are part of that cancer. And I wouldn't even assign it totally to Trump. It could be somebody else who's standing up for certain things that we believe in. Now, did Trump do everything right? Certainly not. But Tapper goes on to say, you know, that basically those that have supported Trump are part of the problem. They're part of the cancer, blah, blah, blah.
Well, if I thought it was true that Trump thought that the violence at the Capitol was justified, and I don't know that he does.
No, I don't think he does.
That would be wrong, mm-hmm. certainly.
Sure.
But if you want to talk about a cancer on this country.
Oh, my gosh. We got it.
Just look at the past 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even just the last month.
I mean, if we were at stage two, we're at stage five now.
Sure.
I don't know how many stages there are.
Well, four is really bad. I know that.
Well, then we're one beyond that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, with this migrant situation, with the situation economically, the chaos going on with the vaccines.
Yes.
I mean, he screwed that up.
Right. And if they get this $3.5 trillion on top of the $1.5 trillion, and they're saying it really adds up to more like $7 or $8 trillion.
But if they don't, they're just going to hold the whole infrastructure thing hostage.
Right.
I mean, that's what they're doing now.
Yeah. Hey, if they don't spend it, they haven't spent the money from Trump's first bill that he put out for COVID relief. The money's still sitting there, parked. I'm not sure what they're doing all this money sitting around, but anyway, it's
not giving vaccines to 200,000 illegal immigrants that are coming in.
Yeah, some of the money could fund
not
that.
Not testing them.
They could test them and give them shots, and we'd still have money left over. CBS News is coming up next. It is 8 o'clock on the Morning Jam.